The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome everybody to Jersey Boys Podcast. I would say welcome back. We've been doing this for about 9 months, but tonight is our very first episode on the SB Nation's blogging, the Boys Podcast Network. We've been doing this for a long time. We've suffered through this season together. Your host, Dave Sturcio, of course, nationwide known comedian, Brett Ernst. You can see him in Cobra Kai as of late. I know he's doing his Cobra Kai world tour all over the country, whichever states will actually have you at this point.
Well, it's only been two states, Sturcio.
Whatever states will have you. And of course, his brother, we call him America's fan, Keith Ernst, because, well, he's just that. He is America's fan, and he knows more than...
Absolutely.
What? We should call him like a cowboy kind of like that cowboy expert.
Something, because he just like RJ Ochoa drops these little nuggets on Twitter where I'm just like, how did he come up with that stat? RJ, I got a guy here that says, you know, hold my beer. So we're gonna dive into some of the stuff. Listen,
I was just in Austin and there was a couple people that listened to the show that came to the stand up show. And they love the podcast, man. But they're like, how does your brother know all of this stuff? I have no idea.
We had an episode over the summer where he was literally naming like week by week scores, results.
He could get out of second grade, but he could.
And they were also like, why is he always drunk too?
This Cowboy season as a whole would make anybody drink. So, we are here on the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network. We're excited. Look, we've all been fans, and of course, we named ourselves the Jersey Boys Podcast because all three of us were born in New Jersey, which we consider, of course, enemy territory. You know, we got the Giants right next door. We got Philadelphia right down the turnpike. You take the train down to Washington, D.C. They're all right there. And being a Cowboys.
That's what I was telling everybody in Austin. I said, because, you know, it's Cowboy territory. And a lot of them did, you know, I'd say on stage, I'm a Cowboy fan. And they'd clap and be like, how? Why? I go, listen, it's easy for you guys to be Cowboy fans here. If you grew up in New Jersey, New York area, Cowboy fan, you know, we went through some stuff, man. We went through some stuff, and that's what we bonded on.
And that's putting it lightly, and it's putting it politely and keeping it PG of how much stuff we would actually get through and go through as Cowboy fans. I've been a Cowboy fan my entire life. Obviously, my dad, he really didn't give me a choice in the matter. He just kind of put me in front of the TV. Here's the Dallas Cowboys. This is our squad. Boom. You know, Brett, I mean, you've obviously been through some more Cowboys wars than me. How did you get your start as far as being a Cowboy fan?
Well, and again, for the new listeners, the old listeners, we know you've been here. We're just going to rehash this because, you know, it's a new network. It's a new season, new life. I've told the story over and over again. And it was basically when I was a little kid in the 70s, late 70s, you know, I always tell people there was always five teams on TV. It was the Rams, the Steelers, the Cowboys, the Dolphins, and the Raiders. I think you'd see a lot of, you know, and our father, our real father used to always be like, you know, cheering on the Cowboys. And I remember seeing a Super Bowl as a kid. I mean, I didn't really realize it, but he was always like, let's go, you know. So things happen. Our parents went their separate ways. And then I just figured, okay, well, he's a Cowboy fan. I'll be a Cowboy fan. And, you know, I just studied everything about him, man. I used to, you know, just like worship him. And then I figured, you know, that'd be our thing. And I would call him up and be like, hey, we just drafted Jim Jeffcoat. He's like, you know, that's great. Put your mother on. And then when we lost to the Niners the first time, I called him crying. And he's like, you know, why do you care? He's like, why do you keep telling me about the Cowboys? And I'm like, you know, because that's our team. And he's like, I don't give a, you know, I don't care about the Cowboys. If anything, I root for the Giants because he's from New Jersey. I just, he was like a gambler. He was gambling. And I didn't know that. And I had put so much, into the Cowboys. I just stuck with them. And, you know, and they, dude, they were my childhood. People looked up at Spider-Man. I had no, I like superheroes, but the Cowboys were my superheroes as a kid up until about this year.
I was just going to say, they still got you. They still wooing you right now. The same thing goes for you, Keith.
Pretty much. I meant, you know, it's funny because we moved around a lot when we were kids, you know, Jersey, West Virginia, Florida, wherever. And the one thing that was always on TV was the Cowboys.
Right.
You know, and geographically, when you're a kid, you don't know where you are. You think everything is, you know, especially if you don't have somebody in the house telling you, like a father saying, hey, this is going to be your favorite team or whatever. We don't know. We're just watching what's on TV.
Right.
And I knew Brett was accused, who's about 7, 8 years older than me. I knew he was, a Cowboy fan, and they were on TV as well. And I remember seeing Drew Pearson, where technically I only really saw Pearson for like 2 seasons, but it was enough.
Right.
Bro, that's crazy.
Yeah. And he's my favorite player.
I was just going to say, he's your favorite player.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. That guy caught everything. And when I was a kid, I was just so impressed with that. And that's why they're America's team. They were always on TV. So once we finally kind of settled in New Jersey, it was too late. I mean, our stepfather was a real Giants fan. If he would have got a hold of us earlier, who knows? But I don't jump teams, and that's how I am.
Yeah, we don't want to be frauds around.
And let me tell you something. Brett and I went through some horrible years in the 80s. And like when we were in South Florida, when we moved to South Florida as well, the Dolphins were prime. We were going 1-15 and all this other stuff. And we
that had was Marino, like Marino's heyday down there. When you
yeah,
were
we
that.
Went and jumped, man. And you know, it's been in our blood. And like Brett said, you know, they were our superheroes, man. They started as part of our childhood. When I'm watching them play, I can't help it. I can't help but get upset. I can't help but curse. I can't help but break things, you know? The way it is.
Small things. Monetary
and also,
stuff.
Also, you know, again, we you know, because we moved so much, it was the one constant, man. We just, and me and him always bonded through the games, man. And then he would be outside catching everything going. Remember you were a kid, you'd always name your player?
Yeah.
You know, Keith was like, I'm Drew Pearson. We remember arguing, man. We almost fought a whole block one time with the spaghetti head and those guys talking crap about the. By the way, how great was it? I know I haven't been able to catch up with you guys to watch all those Giant fans that were talking all that crap. And I told them, you've got 8 hours. You better watch your mouth because those Eagles are going to throw that game. I knew if we won, I know they would have thrown the game. I was surprised they did that to the Giants, right? Mm-hmm. But the bragging and arrogance of them for 8 hours to the deflatingness. I'm so glad it happened to us this way.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know if I can really handle if we would have won that game. I would have been moonwalking all over my dad's house, and then all of a sudden it just gets the rug.
Yeah,
just
that would have been horrible.
And it couldn't have happened to a better bunch of fans. But I will say this: now the rest of the world gets to see what horrible people the Eagles are. The NFC East is always known. You know, look, there's been a kinship with the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. We have a rivalry, but there's always been that respect because Tom Landry started with the Giants. You know, we got Parcells, the Garretts. There's always been something between the Cowboys and the Giants, you know?
Right.
And, you know, the Redskins, as much as we hated them, but there's nobody worse than the Eagles. And now the world gets to see.
Well, they were exposed.
NFC East fan knew.
They were exposed. Dude. They were exposed on Sunday Night
Peterson
Football.
Lost his job over that, by the way.
Which was nuts because they said the guy was safe prior in, and then he's like, all right, then I'll just kind of do my thing. And then, by the way,
locker
you're out.
Was like, what are you doing? Why would you do that?
That's
very,
why
very, very angry.
In previous episodes, I say players don't and coaches should not choke and just give a game away.
Yeah, nobody the players don't tank, but we saw a lot. We saw something different on that week. But you know, speaking of the NFL playoffs, I know it's non-existent for us as Cowboy fans this year. It was just one of those years where, hey, listen, it could have happened. I mean, somehow, some way, this season was interesting.
No, look, we were happy those last games meant something, but nobody should sniff the playoffs if you're 6-10.
Right. So the Giants, yeah, like I said, the Giants would have made the playoffs 6-10. The world would have imploded. So obviously, we're not in the playoffs, but we are watching the playoffs. We're all NFL fans first. And, you know, wild card weekend came and went. Some, you know, crazy good stories with Buffalo and Cleveland. And now we get to divisional championship, you know, weekend, in which the Cowboys haven't really, you know, gotten past this round. We'll talk about that a little bit. We haven't gotten past this round since 95. But when we take a look at what just happened, because, look, people are listening to this. It's Monday, January 18th, 2021, and everybody's ready for the title game, okay, the two title games. We start by just recapping of what we just saw. I mean, if you guys were just watching it, the Saints and the Bucks, and there's a lot of emotions into this one because it could have been Breeze's last ride. All signs pointing to that. I mean, we watched them hug and embrace on the field after the post game. But what a game, though, man. I mean, it's a shame that it went the way it went. I was clearly rooting for Brady. I want that Brady-Rodgers matchup, but I just didn't see Drew Breeze just really showing his age tonight.
Yeah, those last two interceptions, man. I mean, that was – you want to know what's crazy, though? Like, out of all the four teams that – NFC teams, we've never played – I believe this is off the top of my head, guys.
Here we go. Here we go.
I don't think we've ever played the Saints in the playoffs.
I think we did. I think we played them in a wild card round when Archie Manning was there. I'm almost positive they made the playoffs.
That's probably why. And
or it might be Atlanta.
Okay, so, yeah, that's again.
Anyways, I just find that because I know that we have. I was going to say all the rest of the teams we obviously have played in the playoffs, but right. Yeah, man, that was including the Bucks. We've actually played the Bucks a couple times in the playoffs. From when
that
I
had to be what creamsicle Bucks,
late 70s, early 80s, man.
Creamsicle orange Bucks.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that you know, it's funny because in previous episodes, I've had to listen to my brother, and I say this in the nicest way because I don't want to get angry.
Why would you even get angry? Why?
Because I've been saying how great Brady, how he's the greatest of all time.
But this is my point, bro.
He's the greatest of all time.
He played awful today. He didn't play great today.
Awful? What?
He played what? He had 200 yards?
He didn't watch the game.
The first half. I watched the first half.
It was. He had two touchdowns. He was money when he had to be money. I mean, he was completing. I mean, stop with this. Dude, the Bucs have not won a playoff since 2002.
And that was the year I believe they won the Super Bowl, right?
Just so you think I'm not full of crap, let me grab my ticket that I bet because I got I took the Bucs and I took
that's fine. That's fine. I'm not calling you. And this is the first time. This is the first time I think that Brady actually in a long time where he's played two away games in a row. So we could throw that out of there where we're like,
there was a big thing thinking like, it's going to be very hard to beat Tom Brady three times.
Guys, again, it's not, he's the best in the,
he's the greatest ever.
The plays that Aaron Rodgers made, right?
Yeah. We'll get into that.
What I'm saying is Tom Brady is not doing this in the 90s. He's not doing this in the 80s. We are watching a different game of football now.
That's fine, bro. But what I'm trying to say is that who knows? You're saying that Joe Montana would have been able to do what Brady's doing now. Is that what you're saying?
I'll tell you right now, Dan Marino would be throwing 6,000 yards.
I'm not talking about the yards, though. I'm talking about winning and being clutch. Okay,
even winning. Look, there was a play that I watched before I got on the plane where they flagged a Buccaneer for hitting a defenseless receiver, and he hit him with the shoulder pad. These guys can't even touch him.
That's fine. Yes, every quarterback is going through that, not just Brady. Why does Brady continue to go to the Super Bowl and win if it's that easy?
See, this is where you're confusing it. We're not saying I'm talking about that era that was back then. The best eras from the late 80s to the 90s. They are not doing this. Brady is not doing this in that era. He's not winning like this. He would be flushed and killed out of the pocket.
Okay, well, but you see, but you're speaking as you're saying something we'll never be able to see.
But we know it.
But it's hypotheticals, it's hypothetical.
It's hypothetical.
We've seen both eras of football. So you're telling me right now, You're telling me right now that this is the best era of football ever?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying Tom Brady is the greatest.
He's saying that Brady is
the greatest quarterback ever.
No, yeah. Tom Brady.
Nine Super Bowls. He's been the nine Super Bowls. He's won six Super Bowls. And now he's going to an NFC championship where you said in the beginning of the season that if Bill Belichick, you said in the beginning of the season, if Bill Belichick does not make the playoffs and Tom Brady goes deep into the playoffs, you will then say he's the greatest of all time. And now you're backing off. Now you're backing out from that.
We also did say that he was in the same style of offense he was in.
You know what's crazy? I saw a crazy stat.
Looking at Joe Montana, Joe Montana played in two different style of offenses and was successful in two different style of offenses.
What is that?
Yo, it's crazy though. Here's it. Ready for this crazy?
Wait.
You can't even segue.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
It's fine. No, listen, this has been.
I don't even want to get into that. Go
it's
ahead.
Been a heated.
Here's my question. In the era where defense counted, right? Where you had defenses like the Giants and the Eagles and the Cowboys and the Steel Curtain and all that. You really think that he's going at nine Super Bowls? You really think that in an
era – He beat the Ravens, bro. That Ravens defense was no joke.
Where you could jam a receiver and keep him on the line of scrimmage or take a guy out.
We will never know because he didn't play then. So you're hypothetically speaking. The facts are nine. He's been to nine Super Bowls and he's won six.
Okay.
Please segue.
Let
me ask you this then. Do you think Emmitt Smith is the greatest running back of all time?
Yes.
You don't think Walter Payton is?
I would take Emmitt over Walter. Yes, I would.
Okay, so you're talking about a guy that had breakaway speed, could make you miss, run you over, could throw a ball 40 yards on a rope, and mm-hmm. also make one-handed catches 30 yards downfield with his toes on a sideline.
Mm-hmm.
He's not as decorated as Emmitt. Emmitt is durable. I love Emmitt to death. My backfield would be Walter and Emmitt. But Walter Payton was the most complete player, okay? And in the era and the teams that he played against and with count. Now, if this era of football where you've got guys putting up 4,000 yards, there's no rushing anymore. The rushing game's obsolete because you don't even need to set it up for the
passing. He still wins, bro. I get what you're saying, but
he's just saying that Tom Brady, because of the way he did it in this era, even regardless of era, he's won six Super Bowls. Okay. It's hard to debate.
Let me ask you this.
Right.
And we got a segue. Is Bill Russell greater than Michael Jordan?
I don't know, bro.
No, he's not. Though he has almost twice the amount of championships, because in the era he played, basketball was a different game.
And it was also less teams too, but go ahead.
But I'm saying it was a different game. This is a different game of football.
And you also, and actually when Joe Montana was winning, he had 28 teams to deal with. Brady has 32.
We'll close with this stat that I looked up and I heard. Brady in the divisional round in his career is 14-2. He's played an entire regular season in the divisional round of the playoffs. That is mind numbing.
But if he played those in the 60s,
not what I'm saying, and you know that's not what I'm saying. And why don't you make a instead of just saying he has six Super Bowls, you sound like Patriot fans. You sound like the Eagle fans too. Well, we got the most recent, so
well, guess what? That's what us Cowboy fans sound like when we say we won five.
Well, speaking of the AFC, you know, it's funny you say that. Speaking of the AFC, the other game that happened today, the Kansas City Chiefs were taking on the Feel Good Browns. Everybody was kind of jumping on their ship a little bit, not Vegas, because that was a 10-point spread the entire time, but crazy turn of events. You know, the game's not out of reach, and then Mahomes gets knocked silly. I've never actually seen guys get hit in the head and then they get up and then they go off to the sidelines. They do the whole independent neurologist, head doctor guy. And this time I saw a quarterback in Patrick Mahomes take a hit and then try to get up, and his legs did the wobble. And I was like, oh my God, like he got knocked.
We said this on the phone, Starch. They're going to push that concussion protocol away.
In the post game press conference with Andy Reid, he was very, very adamant, like, oh, he felt great, he's doing fine, blah blah blah.
Unlike Joe Montana, who played with concussions and a broken back.
It's a different game, right? But
by the way, really quick, have you guys seen it's the NFL Network where they have the experts, like I saw one with the defensive lineman. They had Randy White, Bruce Smith.
Oh, it's like a round table, right?
Yeah, the round table.
Yeah. So
Randy White brought something up that I never even, and Keith, you probably didn't realize this either. All right. Cause they were talking, like Jason Taylor was talking about, you know, coming in and out of games. Randy White never left the game. Like the defensive linemen back then never substituted.
They never rotated.
They never rotated.
And now all that wins is depth, making sure you have depth, making sure guys can rotate in and out.
Yeah, they never left the game. He said that. He goes, we never rotated. It was just we were in the whole game.
Did you guys have any rump, like any kind of gut feeling that the Browns could have pulled this off regardless of Mahomes?
No, I didn't. And I'm surprised it was night that they came back from 19-3. I thought it was over.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
But I felt bad before the half, man. And here's the thing. I saw that the fumble into the end zone, the touchback.
That's such a crap rule. But, I mean, I know it's a rule, but Jesus.
Here's the thing. I saw that. I thought he scored, and I walked away to take care of some parental stuff, right? Yeah. And I came back. I'm like, was it? He didn't touch the pylon? What happened?
Yeah, he was like a whole yard. It was like an inch short. Like that,
and he fumbled before
he did the David Carr. He did the David Carr
when we played him. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That is. Well, what about the Terry Glenn when we played Seattle before the Romo drop? That happened.
Oh yeah, not
there. You guys know that.
I watched that game. I got to see the whole Cleveland game. I actually I thought Cleveland was going to win. I was going to bet them on the money line, but I didn't. I just took them with the points.
The disrespect the Chiefs are getting right now. It's not
disrespect. It's just
they also haven't played a meaningful game in a month. So. Right.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like Cleveland's on it. They were pretty hot, man. They were on a roll. I mean, look, they could have pulled it out if they were, you know.
They had one last drive. I mean,
I didn't plan on Mahomes leaving either. So when they were up 22-3, I'm like, God, I'm so glad. I'm so stupid I took them.
And you remember this, bro. Like, and Search, I know you were a little starched then, but it's so hard.
I'm always going to be a little
when you win a Super Bowl, you get bored. And I think the Chiefs, even though they were technically 14-1, because I'm not going to count that last game.
Right.
You can just see they're going through the motions and they win when they have to win.
What about that call with the pass at the end when you needed a half a yard? As Cowboy fans, we would have been screaming.
It was fourth and inches.
Dude, we would
First
have been
of all, I would have did it. I would
how many
challenge
times this
that.
Season have we gotten out of control because of Kellen Moore calling something where it's like you need to run Zeke right up the gut? They don't have a Zeke on that team. They don't. But
come on, man.
Williams was running.
I get Williams had a game, but I'm saying like they don't have a guy where you think like, all right, fourth and inches, just hand the ball off for good.
Look, I hate to say this, but any running back in the NFL should be able to get a fourth and inch. Anyone.
I agree.
Yeah. And I would have done a sneak. First of all, that's what I would. I mean,
they've done that. You know,
that was a stupid play call. It was.
He looks like he's got
the balls,
you know,
on him or whatever.
I was gonna say it looks like he's got balls of steel because boy, like, that was a call.
As if it didn't go through, but you know what? They'd be like, all right, well, he's won a Super Bowl. Like, but you're right. If that was Garrett or Kellen Moore,
oh my God, they would have ran.
We lost because of that. Oh my God,
we would have. I can't even imagine the response we would have gave. I would have been on the phone with you guys in the group chat, just expletive after all
and
stuff.
Really quick with Cleveland too, man. I will say I think they have the best running backfield in the NFL.
Kareem Hunt had two touches going in. Like what?
Dude, I know.
I don't know what their game plan was, but
Chubb
is just.
Chubb in him, man. I don't know why they try to force Baker down.
There was a lot of passing out of Baker.
I mean, you've got two of the best running back tandems.
It's because you're playing from behind, so it's like, you know.
True.
You know, it's just.
But let me ask you a question. Before that fourth and inches, didn't you think he got the first down, Henny?
I did. I was like that was like even happening.
That wasn't even close. It seemed like.
Yeah. No. It's funny. When these referees they mark the stuff. When they mark those spots, First of all, and I have to segue or at least mention that Tony Romo is the greatest commentator of all time. Dude, he just said, he said like only Andy Reid would run a spread shotgun on fourth and inches. He was saying that, and he was saying, he was also saying something that was hilarious, where he was like something, and then he was like, and then they almost did it. Like, he was just, he went back on his word. Oh my God, he's such a natural.
Henny, is, you know, leave it to a Dolphin player, ex quarterback.
He actually played well before.
Anything is possible.
He was throwing some strikes, man.
He was.
But I mean, that interception looked like a misread. Look, you know what I mean? But
I mean, if he threw an interception punt, he threw that ball up there. And people were just kind of waiting. He could have fair caught that interception in the back. But staying in the AFC, obviously, we also watched another team with a very mobile quarterback in Lamar Jackson taking on the Bills. Now, going into this game, you know, the Bills' rush defense kind of gave up some yardage against the Colts. You know what I mean? So you kind of wonder. You know, the Ravens are coming in as a better rushing team. You got Lamar, you got Dobbins, you got, you know, their rushing team is good. But boy, man, they are very, very, I mean, I know they did, they worked us like nobody's business, and so did the Browns. But I mean, you know, the Ravens really worked us rushing wise, but they are so one dimensional, man. Like, if they have to throw, it's not happening.
Yeah, he threw some, I mean, I saw a couple of nice passes, but most of it is when he's buying time, right?
Right. There was times where I'm just like, you would think that he had, I'm kidding you, like 8 seconds to throw the ball.
Missing the field. You know what's crazy is, like, I feel like the Ravens are, they remind me of the Cowboys and Romo just a little bit. Because you look, he's going to get that, you know, he's going to get the Romo thing. Well, oh, I don't know if he can win that. Even though he's won a playoff,
he's 1-3 now.
Listen,
that class, 2018 with Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, you know, also Lamar Jackson. He might be the next one to kind of get dacked. And I make that as a verb, you know, like where he's won games.
Yeah, you're right. Are they going to
be your leader?
Franchise.
And then here come the franchise tags and stuff.
But if you look at this game, it just seemed like something that would happen to us. Like the two missed field goals I've never seen.
Tucker hasn't missed field goals.
But did you see how they missed them?
I know.
No, they both hit the upright.
That's accuracy if you think about it.
I know. He hit the pole twice. It's like, that is something where we'd be talking about, like, how does that happen?
Yeah.
As Cowboy fans, you know, and it's like, and you know, they were dropping passes. I saw Lamar had one that was dropped. Even the kid that came in for him, Hutton.
Yeah.
Near when they were like in the red zone, it was like a second and goal, and the dude dropped it right there, which could have made a difference too. And
then I didn't watch. I missed this whole game, man. I was on stage.
You're a busy guy. You're a busy guy, but we can't discredit the Bills' defense. They really stepped it up. And, of course, man, Stephon Diggs has turned into one of the better receivers in the league.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know, with the Bills as well, you know, it's funny because watching the defense, like, you would think, why aren't people copying this game plan?
Right.
And maybe they are. They just don't have the players, because a couple of the spies, that one linebacker they had, I don't know his name, he was on Lamar the whole time, man. And that he got knocked out of the game too, bro. You don't know, but Lamar got knocked out.
Yeah, the concussion.
They're running him like a freaking running back. Like, there was one play where, I don't know, where he took the option and he's not even trying to slide.
No.
And they destroyed him.
He's got the mask. He's got the running back mask that he wears. Like, he is a legitimate throwing running back. Like, there's just no way around it. And I'm sure he'll work on his craft, and I'm sure he'll get to the offseason and work on his throwing. And for crying out loud, man, the Ravens need to give him a weapon or two. Like, it's Hollywood Brown is serviceable, and I love Dez Bryant, but, like, you know, geez, that's all you're throwing to. I mean, they got a great.
How's Dez been doing?
He had like a couple reps, but nothing. I think he had a catch called back. Like,
you want to hear something crazy? Bro, Cole Beasley and Dez Bryant were playing each other. So one of them went to an NFC championship, but neither of them caught a pass today, not even Beasley.
Really?
Neither did Michael Thomas, which is insane.
Well, he's not a Cowboy, but.
No, but I know. But I'm just thinking, like, of all these big-name receivers that aren't even getting looks. That game was.
We're not talking about Michael Thomas. We're going to worry about him.
Yeah, Michael Thomas.
Worry about him.
With you. Talk about Dez and Bees. What are you doing? You embarrass yourself on our first episode on the thing.
Now, I don't want to do this anymore. You know?
Stick with the NFC. Is there a better quarterback going right now than Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. This game I watched. Okay.
Yes.
And that's my point, dude. I watch Aaron Rodgers and look again, man, I know you don't believe me because I'm just trying to bring it home. I like Brady's story. I love Brady. I love that he's 40 and he's still playing. I can't stand Aaron Rodgers. Everything he's done to us. Brady's never done anything to us like Aaron Rodgers has done to us.
He beat us a couple times.
Good Lord, man. On the run, he threw that, what was that? That 20-yard freaking, just a bullet, man, to the sideline.
It's the flick of the wrist and he's throwing it.
Accurate.
Throwing it. Flick of the wrist, throwing it down 60 yards down the field, hits Lazard at the end to kind of seal it. But man, oh man, that Packers, if you put a gun to my head right now, which I know Keith loves to do, put guns to heads, but boy, I have a hard time thinking that you know, anybody slows down the Packers right now. I mean, look, anything's possible. We watched, you know, Buffalo go on a run. We watched Cleveland beat Pittsburgh. We saw a lot of things already in the playoffs, but boy, oh boy, is that team just gelling.
And Aaron Rodgers is not a choke guy.
No. I mean, he has bad games. He has bad games.
He's not – this ain't going to be a bad
– It depends. It depends the mood he's in, man. I think when he comes out –
Also, the defenses too, man.
With that
– Let's talk about that again really quick because you guys saw that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the defense didn't really show up today either for this – I mean, the Saints played okay. They got back there, but – I'm saying, like, you know, it just depends to what happens on the other side of the ball.
Right.
So when Green Bay's defense, man, was playing pretty good, man.
And they, listen, Goff had like one thumb and like they were limited and they have a running game. It's all bashed up. Cooper Kupp missed the game. So they were kind of hobbled, but dude, what's that?
No, go ahead. I'll let you finish. I got excited. I remembered a play from the game that I thought was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, like that team came in like a bird with a wing, you know what I mean? Like it was just the Packers didn't really have to do much to put it away.
So did you see the hook and lateral, bro?
That was phenomenal for them. Yeah, it was great.
That's what I mean. McVay, man, you know, he's a good coach, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, look, that's going to be the coaching from
well, this is
from
the
now
type
on.
Of coaching, right. And this is the type of coaching you're going to have to deal with now. And you know, it's conducive to the rules.
Now and you mentioned
McVay is like a kid that's playing Madden with adults.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's what he's doing.
Right. Yeah.
He's out there calling Madden plays.
You know I noticed too is that how good like there was a play. Remember that bomb he threw to that Rodgers had a touchdown to some receiver. He's like their Noah Brown. Like our Noah Brown was this
like
guy
Vandy Scantling or
yeah, something like that. But what
on the post downfield, that one?
Yeah, yeah. And what he was doing before then, and I was thinking that he throws those quick screen, and a guaranteed he knew what he was doing. He set them up, man, because that guy was wide open.
Oh, you know what that I'm Packers saying? Offense is great, and it's fueled by their coaching, another young coach. And I bring this to your attention because now this is going to be discussed.
Wait, I want to add one more
thing. Sure, yeah.
I was at a bar. This is my point. I watched – because I'm at a hotel. When I watched that Packers game, it's all Cowboy fans now because I'm in Addison.
Mm-hmm.
Every other play, you would hear people go, "Oh my God!" Oh,
right?
Wow. You didn't hear that with the Saints and the Bucks.
Oh, stop, dude! Get over it, man.
I'm trying to get my brother go.
It's like, what is?
No, it's funny because we talk about how high powered this Packers offense is, and if they're going to be stopped, you know, it's going to be up to the Bucks defense to do it. But the coaching, you know, Rodgers and the head coach, LaFleur, right? They have such a rapport already. And last year they were talking
about the coach.
Huh?
David LaFleur. Wasn't that our friend?
No, I'm telling you, there's a camaraderie with those guys that were just Matt LaFleur. There was a camaraderie. I had to look it up for a second because I'm like, Mike LaFleur is actually the offensive coordinator for now the Jets. So the LaFleur brothers are running wild. But anyway, there's a camaraderie now between these two after last year where people were like, oh, you know, maybe they're not getting along. Maybe they're just like, they're just not gelling right. Dude, this is back-to-back NFC championship game appearances for the Green Bay Packers. Now, Blogging the Boys will be asking this question, and we'll be the first ones to answer it. Does the success of the Green Bay Packers right now, two back-to-back NFC championship games, Does that worry you because it's officially the post Mike McCarthy era? That's a big deal.
Worry me as in far as like they're going to be.
Meaning Mike McCarthy was never the reason.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say. So explain that. So do they mean more like that? That Mike McCarthy? I would say.
Are you worried that all this success is happening as soon as McCarthy's gone?
Yeah. I said, yeah. I don't know if because I didn't get to do the wrap up, but for the last episode. So it'll be clean on this one. Coaching was the whole reason why we lost that game. And it didn't end up mattering anyways, but for you not to even call or challenge that catch, which, and they had time, they were setting up for a field goal.
Right.
That's all you got. It's like when the field goal kicker comes out, you got one job. Now you're calling the game, but these types of moments, players, when you talk about being clutch on a field, their players are going to mess up sometimes because they're playing 70, 80 plays. Okay. This is one moment. You've got 15 or 11 people up there, everybody, and you don't challenge that call. That to me, and I think Keith brought up that in the last, that he, or you brought up that he's the one that challenged the Dez Bryant catch.
Which, right? Whether that be a booth review or not, he made sure that thing was reviewed.
Right. Why the heck? Now you're in field, now 50 yard field goal. What are you saving that for?
It's a whole
different game. Now we got to score a touchdown. We could have won that game, which would have been heartbreaking.
I was just going to say, did you really want to win that game?
But
yeah. No, I think it was the whole season is a reflection of him. I think that we're already, myself personally, I'm already, whether the Packs did good or not, I already think that this is going to be a long road.
See, what bothered me with McCarthy on that, what Brett's talking about, is I'm willing to give a guy, you know, somewhat a chance. And when I say that is, he didn't even say I was wrong in the press conference. He stood by his word. Now that's what worries me right there. Mm-hmm. If he would have came out and said, look, I did mess up, man. You know, I don't know what I was thinking. If he gave some, but instead he said, oh no, it's irrelevant. If we would have done that, it would have been a catch. Like, no, stop. Now you're not.
The words he used, it was too close. And I was like, well, if it's close, isn't that the reason?
But I will say this about McCarthy, okay? Yes, I am very, 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 very worried, okay? Because they just went, like you said, Sturch, they're on their way to their second NFC championship. I know they got their butts kicked by San Fran last year, but it doesn't matter. They made it to one game away from the Super Bowl. When they were with McCarthy, they won one Super Bowl during that whole time. And here's something a lot of people don't know. That one Super Bowl they won, they shouldn't even have been in the playoffs. That was, they made the playoffs at 10-6. That was the miracle in the new Meadowlands. Do you remember that game?
The miracle in the new
Meadowlands. Remember that, bro.
The miracle in the new Meadowlands was when you'll know it once I start. The Giants were up 31-10 against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, is this okay? DeSean Jackson?
DeSean Jackson. Giants didn't lose that, they lost, bro. They lost 38 it was 7 minutes left. The Giants were up 31-10.
That's when Coughlin said to Matt Dodge, you better kick this ball out of bounds.
And then he kicks it. Yeah. I was associating that with Green Bay. So you're talking about the Giants.
Yeah. No. Let me finish. No. Yeah. What I'm trying to say is that if the Giants won that game, Green Bay don't make the playoffs that year.
Right.
Because then they would have been 11-5. But since they had the tight, so what I'm trying to say is that that's the only year they won a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. When they went 14-2, they lost the first round. We all know that the Dallas Cowboys, that was a catch against Dez. He had no business going to Seattle. We know that if it wasn't for that tightrope catch with the Dak, they wouldn't have went to that NFC championship. When I say with Dak, the year we went with Dak, when he threw it to,
but it was 4th-20 and he,
yeah, whatever it was. But I'm just saying though, and he got his butt kicked in Atlanta when he went up there. So yes, I am worried because it looks like that he either squeaked in or when he got in, he choked. And we're seeing what Aaron Rodgers can do. Aaron Rodgers is doing better without him. Have they ever been the two NFC championships in a row?
I don't know. This is the first one he gets to play at Lambeau though.
But I thought the new miracle in the Meadowlands is when your mom only had 15 hot dogs, Keith.
Well, those jokes, if you want those jokes, go back to the feed and get those jokes. Those are good jokes. But there's negativity. Obviously, we're talking about Mike McCarthy. We're worried about Mike McCarthy. Right off the top of your head, since this is divisional round weekend and it kind of came and went, before we wrap this up, Do you have any kind of fond memories of divisional championships? I can name one because it's the last one we had, really, was the Philadelphia Eagles when we beat their, you know, we beat them up 30-11. Yeah. Deion Sanders had himself a day. He picked off Randall Cunningham, who came in for Rodney Pete. And then obviously Deion had an end around touchdown. And that was one of the fond ones I can think of because, yeah, I mean, look, 94, 95, like these, that's my heyday. I'm 9, 10 years old. I remember this stuff.
Okay. Well, it's funny because you sent the text, which is kind of funny, saying, I know you guys have a whole hell of a lot more than I do, divisional. But here's the thing. We really don't, Sturch. I mean, I don't. My first divisional.
I don't either.
Well, you watched the you have.
Oh, I did watch the Redskin Niners.
Like all that. See, my first one I saw is when we lost 20-0 or 21-0 to the Rams in the 85 Bears season. Mm-hmm. Bro, remember that? That's when we were doing the
hand thing.
Yeah, like we always do stereo, like
superstitious stuff.
Yeah, sorry, okay. Superstitious stuff. Yeah, and so we're sorry we'd ever got it right. We're doing a patty cake game or something.
That was my insanity.
Yeah. And we never got it right. Sick. So we ended up losing 20-0. And Eric Dickerson just had a game. But I have to say you put it this way, Sturch, you and I, I've seen just as many divisional game wins than you have.
As the little Sturch has.
As a little Sturch.
Little Sturch, okay? Is like,
because we went 30 years older than you, little Sturch.
Yeah. Because we beat the Eagles. So my favorite is the 92 Eagles. To get
that's
down on
92 Eagles. So that's two wins over the Eagles that we have.
Because we finally got to that. It was my first NFC championship. But there's one that really pisses me off. Okay. And it's the,
it's supposed to be positivity. But go ahead.
The divisional, I know, but the divisional championship or playoff game against the Lions.
Lions, yeah.
Okay, because we just beat the Bears in the wild.
We got the doors blown off us, did we not?
They beat the hell out of us. But the one thing that bothers me so much, and this is because I love Emmett and I think Barry's great, is they always show that stupid run with Barry Sanders. It's like a 60-yard run. And actually, Tony Casillas is in that, where, like, Tony Casillas is looking both ways and he kind of runs behind him for a touchdown. But here's the thing that bothers me. The game was over. They were already up 31-6. And I'm not saying that the Cowboys are laying down, but they were literally in, like, almost – what's like it called?
Shutdown mode.
When you not shut down, but when you
Victory
formation. Thank you. Okay. They were very close to victory formation.
And here they are.
Barry Sanders runs, and it makes our defense. Whenever they show that, like, oh, Barry Sanders is the great. It's like, no. First of all, that run there was probably his longest run, and that's not why we lost that game, at all. But just because that Sanders run came, it didn't happen the first quarter, it didn't happen the second, it didn't happen, it happened when the game was over.
That one rubs you just the wrong way forever. Well, look, obviously we go ahead, Brett.
No, I was going 92 Eagles
because, yeah, okay, same game. All right, so all three of us in lockstep.
You gotta understand, I think I was in Tallahassee at the time, and you know, I just hated the Eagles. Their defense was phenomenal that year.
Yeah.
You know, that was a very special year because I know what we're going to – are we going to recap an NFC championship game?
Most likely, yeah. Next time.
The one after that, for me, for Keith even drove, 8 hours to watch that together.
Yeah, man.
And but that – when we beat the Eagles, I just couldn't believe it, man.
You couldn't. And I remember you, bro. I remember you being really scared before that game.
I was petrified.
You were so worried. But you know what's the only thing that I was like, bro, we're going to win this. And I know the only thing that scared me is they dedicated the season to Jerome Brown. And like, they were just, I mean, that defense, Reggie White.
But who was quarterbacking? There was like an older quarterback.
No, it was Cunningham, dude.
It was Cunningham?
Yeah.
Randall. All right. Well, listen, we have our memories. We talk a lot of nostalgia here on the Jersey Boys podcast. We always obviously cover the current Cowboys. We'll have a lot of stuff, a lot of lists. We will rehash a lot of the fun times we had over the last summer because we did a lot of cool lists, interactive guide. So, guys, if you stuck with us through the new platform, thank you. If you're new listeners, I hope you guys enjoyed this. And of course, and
old listeners, let us know. Let us know, man. And Sturch, when do we get to? I know we're just in the future. When can we redo our awards? Because I never got to give my awards, our Little League ceremony.
Oh, we'll definitely give our participation Little League awards very, very soon. So, on behalf of Blogging the Boys Podcast Network, we are excited to be joining you guys. For Dave Sturchio, Brett Ernst, Keith Ernst, we hope you guys enjoyed your first taste at the Jersey Boys Podcast. every Monday. Come check us out. And, of course, always support the entire feed. We got Tony Casillas, RJ Ochoa on Tuesdays. We got Riled Up on Thursdays. We got draft shows on Wednesdays. We got the girls. We love Kelsey. We love Meg. Those girls, Girls Talking Boys on Friday. So enjoy the new lineup. Enjoy the football week. And we'll see you guys next time.